Good morning. How's everybody on this beautiful Lord's Day? Huh? Everybody's looking good? All right. For some announcements this morning, for first thing. Get over here. The Annie Armstrong Mystery Easter offering. You get that. The WMA and Fairport Baptist Church are again supporting the mission through their annual Easter offering. Please refer to the insert for additional information about the mission. Offerings will be taken up today through Sunday, March the 15th. And of course, this goes towards what we call our North American missions. It used to be called home missions, but we changed it to North American missions. So it covers all of North America. That's Mexico, United States, and Canada, and so forth. And then WMA fundraiser luncheon today. So we're going to eat in the back, and donations are greatly appreciated. And, of course, it'll go to the WMA for the many different things that they do. Men's Fellowship breakfast next Saturday at 8 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. All church men are encouraged to attend. The sign-up sheets in the Fellowship Hall. Ladies' luncheon Monday the 23rd at Kilmarnock Inn. Arrive by 11:30. There's a sign-up sheet in the Fellowship Hall. If you're interested in riding the church van, please let Bootsy know. And if there are enough riders, we will take the van. And then special business meeting Wednesday the 25th at 7 p.m. This is to vote on the proposed audiovisual modernization plan was presented to you in the business meeting and then also last Sunday. And Dan, do you still have some copies of the...
I believe there are
copies. Okay, there's some additional... If you didn't get one, would like to look at it, there's some in the back. So, and of course, see Dan if you have any more questions. And then Easter sunrise service, Sunday the 20th, April the 5th, I can't work at that. It's 6:30 a.m. at the boatyard back here. And a light breakfast will follow in the fellowship hall, and of course there will be no Sunday school. And then children's education training, that Saturday the 25th here at 9 a.m., and in the fellowship hall, the training will be led by Heather King. She's head of the children's ministries at Newington Baptist Church in Gloucester. All of those who will be working with our children should attend training session, as well as anyone else interested in learning. And the session will be approximately 3 hours long, and we are inviting all the NDBA churches, those that are interested would like to come. So we've opened it up to that. Now, I'd like to say thank you to all those that came out yesterday and for work day and for all the different things that you've done. It shows just how much you love this church, because it was a lot of people here. I see a lot of people showed up to work. Did we get it all done, Jackie?
Well, Pastor, again, thank you for everyone that came. We had more come than actually signed up, so it was a blessing. Thank you all. We even had two youngsters come and work the whole day, Colin and Caden. We really appreciate getting involved. But there was a lot of you did, and if I hadn't personally thank you. I'll try to get to you again. But thanks. It looks really good. Still got a lot more to do, but yeah, we got a lot done. Okay. So thank you.
All right. Any other announcements?
Real quickly, Senior Saints, originally scheduled for the end of this month. We're going to have a lot of absences that week, so I'm going to reschedule it for another date. So the Senior Saints meeting, we will reschedule for a different date.
Okay. All ready.
first hymn this morning is 55, Bless His Holy Name. Stand as we sing.
Got another special treat today in our music. Dave Hershire, sir, is coming, and he's going to play one of them crazy instruments called the bagpipes. So I'll let him take over. Before you get to chewing cup, I wanted to say something real quick. I did study in my genealogy and my family tree and all of that stuff, and I discovered on my grandmother Hughes' side, her mother, my great-grandmother, was a McLean. And they're from Scotland. And I discovered that those McLeans that I'm kin to were Scottish royalty. And they were clan chieftains and lived in castles. And I traced it all the way back to the year 1000. So I'm royalty in Scottish side.
Okay, good. We have royalty. Let the kids come. Let the children come on down. Dave, thank you so much for sharing your gift with us. It was wonderful. Was that pretty cool? That was, wasn't it? I don't know how he played that either. That was pretty amazing. Hey, guys. All right. Someone's blown a tire already. All right. Get that shoe on. Hey, Toby. How are you? Hey, Bella. Everybody doing okay today? Charlie, I think Johnny wants to make a little room there. Can you guys scoot down just a little bit? I think Johnny wants to sit next to his brother. Hey, Tim, remember what we talked about last week? We talked about Elijah. You're right, Bella. We talked about Elijah. We talked about him doing that contest on the mountain where he has a god and the others had his thought, what they thought was a god. And Elijah said, we're going to have a contest. Let your god light the fire and my god will light the fire and we see who's win. You remember that? Well, so we're talking about Elijah some more this morning. After that, he was feeling pretty good because, well, he had proven to everybody that his god is the only god, right? But then he got into an argument, and this queen basically said, I don't like you, and I'm going to beat you up, and I'm going to do mean things. And so he ran and hid and was feeling down in the dumps. Have you guys ever felt down in the dumps? You have? I have. Have you guys ever had a bad day? Yeah, we've all had bad days. Fact. Sometimes when we're not feeling well, we have bad days. And I told this, shared this. What's up, Bella? No, but you didn't, did you? You're okay. We all have moments when we get scared and things happen. So I'll tell you what. So the last few weeks, I haven't been feeling too well. And that makes me down in the dumps. You guys ever get down in the dumps like that? So, it's good to be Johnny. Well, unfortunately, Mrs. Anderson's had to live with one of the seven dwarfs lately, and I'm not going to tell you which one. But I'm not happy, so I'm not that dwarf. I'll tell you that much. But you know, Elijah wasn't feeling the best, and he was down in the dumps. And then God got a hold of him and said, guess what? I've got a plan for you. Don't be down in the dumps. I'll take care of you. So God shared with him. He got him some rest. He got him some food. He got him to settle down. And then he spoke to him. God spoke to Jeremiah in a whisper. Why would he do that? Why would he whisper and not shout? Well, sometimes when we whisper, we get people's attention a lot quicker. And I imagine when the pastor says, come and get it for lunch today, imagine if he whispers, he'll have everybody's attention. Because we can smell that food and we're going to be hungry. So God whispered to Elijah, you are not alone. I still have plans for you. And I want each one of you kids to remember that. And I keep reminding myself, God still has plans for us. Warren, I think you understand this one probably more than anyone else today. Warren was in a bad car accident last fall, and he's still here. God wasn't finished with him. And so I want you to remember that. God is in charge. We say our prayers to God, and he whispers to us that you continue to believe in me because I have plans for you, and I'll be with you. All right, so let's say a little prayer before you guys go back. You ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks. We know that you are the real the only one, the God that takes care of us. We know that we are not alone, that you still have plans for us. And remember that when we're down in the dumps, help us remember that God cares about us, God stays with us, and that God still has plans. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. They're running. Watch out. I know. I like that, Bella. To have that type of energy. Wouldn't that be wonderful to still have that type of energy? Hope everybody's doing well. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen for a while. I see Ann's in the back of the church hiding behind a column. I'm over here. Good to see you, dear. I understand your sister's doing much better, so that is a blessing. Ed, it's good to see you in the house this day. There are several people that aren't doing well. We have, I know of four or five people that will have procedures this week. So we lift them up, included in that. George is not with us this morning. He hasn't been feeling well. He'll have a procedure this week. So he's staying away from extra germs, and we can understand that. Our friend Nick Miller, who usually sits right there behind the coats, he actually is having a little surgery this week. And so many more people are having stuff. So it's a tough time indeed. Glenn, I saw your brother outside this morning, and he asked for extra prayers.
I've been praying for him every day.
Fantastic. So we understand he hasn't been feeling well, so we lift up prayers for Glenn's brother. Stella's home today. She sends her regards to everybody. Her legs aren't working so well, and she said she's really afraid of taking a tumble. So that concerns us. Excuse me. Carlotta, understand that Jeff's doing okay, but like me, he's one of the seven dwarfs, and he's probably a little grumpy as he recovers from his surgery. So a lot of things going on. Faye's let me know that Leslie's not doing too well these days. So please, a lot's going on, and we lift people up. I do have a few rejoices that I'd like to share. First of all, Paige is not with us right now. She's in the other room helping with get things ready for lunch. But Rick, she was in a singing contest recently. She placed third in the Eastern Regionals for a singing contest. And she has a plaque at the school that the school will keep. So that is wonderful. We need to get her. She sat up here with us a couple years ago. We need to get her back up there. Also, George has a birthday this week. Melissa has a birthday this week. And I think that's the good news. So life is good. So we may have grumpy days, but in the big picture, wow. What a prayer being answered. What a blessing indeed. I hope everybody takes care and has a blessed week. If there's anything or anybody that's not doing well that you want to bring my attention, please let me know, or let one of the other senior saints know so we can address it. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as our Heavenly Father, one who does many and great wonderful things for us, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. We want to thank you especially for the gift of salvation, which you've done for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, there are times that we go and we try to show our appreciation, but we don't sometimes say, we love you. And we need to say it more, and not only with our actions, but also with our words, and to mean it. And to thank you for those of our church family, those that we have had good news or recovering from their injuries and their illnesses and other things, but also we want to pray for those that we've mentioned here today that are getting ready to undergo procedures, surgery, or whatever it may be, help them, and all those that are recovering to get their strength back. And Father, there are times that we have times that we don't feel so good. We feel down in the dumps. We have those sometimes called blues or depressions. Struggling with life's issues, and we sometimes don't feel good, but we need to realize that you're there to see us through those, and you're there for us to call upon to help us out of them and to strengthen us back up. And many times we do that, fall into those things because we've taken our eyes off of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to continually keep our eyes upon him, concentrating upon him and what he's doing for us and what we can do for others. And we pray now as we go through this service, we are listening to you and what you have to say to us. For this we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is 493. Glory to his name. We're singing the first and last verses. Stand as we sing.
Now we come to this part of our worship, because this is part of our worship, that is giving back to the Lord. And in a way, it's making a sacrifice. We sacrifice part of what the Lord has given us back to him, then he uses it in his work, in this church, in this community, and in the world, that more and more people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior also, that more and more may be heaven bound. And just like we're going, we would like to see them also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to give back to you. And we pray that we give generously. We give out of our love and concern for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for our love and concern for the lost. And we pray that you will take it and use it to further your work in this world. For this we all give in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people are never happy. A Jewish lady's grandson is playing in the water. She's standing on the beach not wanting to get her feet wet when all of a sudden a huge wave appears from nowhere and crashes directly over the spot where the boy is waiting. The water recedes and the boy is no longer there. He simply vanished. She holds up her hands to the sky, screams and cries, "Lord, how could you? Have I not been a wonderful mother and grandmother? Have I not given to B'nai B'rith and to Hadashah? Have I not tried my very best to live a life for you that would be you would be proud of? A few moments later, another huge wave appears out of nowhere and crashes on the beach. As the water recedes, the boy is standing there smiling and splashing around as if nothing had ever happened. A loud voice booms from the sky. Okay, okay, I've returned your grandson. Are you satisfied? She responds, he had a hat. We're going to look today at a depressed prophet. Now, we've seen his humility and his heroism on Mount Carmel. In fact, I preached on that last Sunday. And now we're going to see his humanity. In James 5:17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, he pushed himself beyond his physical and emotional limits. He fell into a period of depression. Now, great men and women throughout history have had depressions. Winston Churchill said one time about depression following him around like a black dog all of his life. There was a young lawyer in the 1800s, suffered such a deep depression that his friends did everything they could to keep all razors and knives away from him. He wrote these words, I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. This lawyer was Abraham Lincoln. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon was given to periods of depression. There were times when Spurgeon would be so depressed that he would refuse to leave his home to go to church. There were times his deacons had to come and physically carry the pastor to his pulpit. Depression affects all classes, races, ages, groups, and genders of people. Probably about 18 million Americans will deal with some form of depression this year. One out of every five Americans can expect to deal with depression in their lifetime. Depression is the leading cause of alcoholism, drug abuse, and other addictions. Untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide. A lady once asked me, it's like Todd asked the kids today, do you ever get down in the dumps? And I said, well, yes, I do. And what down in the dumps is more considered a mild depression, what we sometimes call the blues. It's a poor mood. It's being unhappy with surrounding circumstances. It's like things are not going as we expected. You know, that happens quite often. Now, Elijah, the great prophet, got down in the dumps. One of the most heroic prophets in the Bible. He was a God-fearing man and one of the bravest preachers and one of the Lord's greatest servants. Yet he did something opposite and unexpected. And this time he ran like a coward. So we're going to look down in the dumps, and we'll look at 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came, sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, is it enough now, O Lord? Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and did drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the winds an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah, we see him running. He had been on a great mountaintop experience. But then word comes, Jezebel. She is infuriated. She threatens him. He must die for what he did. Now, Jezebel is a typical domineering woman. I've known some like that. I hope none of you ladies. I haven't known of any of you ladies to be like that. I'm protecting myself here. But she made all the decisions that mattered. She performed Ahab's job her way. He was the king now, remember, but she did it her way. She used scheming and intimidating tactics that when she saw her puny little husband beginning to cave in to the pressure, she took over. We might say that Ahab was a true henpecked husband. He may have been king, but Jezebel wore the crown. She was the boss. He was the puppet. Now, Ahab refused to give God the credit for what happened on Mount Carmel. Instead, he gave it all to Elisha. And he persisted in this sin and refused to bow before God. Now, Elijah, what's he doing? You might say he tucked tail and ran. He does the irrational. He runs away. You know, but the old saying is, when you're kicked by a mule, just consider the source. But when a carnal person kicks your life and work, ignore it and carry on. Now, he didn't do that. He runs due south almost 125 miles, as far as he could get, that he might avoid the reach of one woman. Depressed people often do things that defy logic and description. You know, it's hard to understand why they did what they do sometimes. Now, we see Elijah here retiring. He leaves his servant at Beersheba. He goes a day's journey into the wilderness, sits under a juniper tree. He throws in the towel. He's had it. He asks God to take his life. He wants to die. He has reached rock bottom. He can't go any lower. And he's thinking anything but rational. He cut himself off from those close to him. He felt alone. He said, I'm all alone. Nobody understands. It's all becoming everybody against me. You feel that way sometimes? I know people that feel like everybody's against them. Elijah took his eyes off the Lord, focused instead on his own circumstances. That's part of the problem we get into at days, at times when things go like that. It's because we take our eyes off the Lord. That's a reason where people, you know, they say they won't be a Christian, they won't have anything to do with the church, they won't have anything to do with the Lord, because they look at sometimes what some people do and they use that to judge. And what they're doing, they're not looking at the Lord. They're not looking at Jesus. They're not looking at the main object. He stopped interceding for others and started requesting for himself. He adopted an attitude that said, life is hopeless. I've had it. I quit. It's no longer worth living for. He claims that he wanted to die. If he really wanted to die, why didn't he just stay and let Jezebel take care of it? Huh? He was irrational again. Ask God to take his life. That's an unauthorized prayer. That's absurd. It's rash to ask life, God, to take your life or anybody else's. We never to pray for that. That's wrong. But here's something we need to see here, though. He does recognize that God is the arbiter of life. It's God who giveth and God who taketh. And he realizes that. And so he knows he can't take his own life. I had a fellow when I was pastoring in Chesapeake Bethel Baptist Church years ago. That was my first church after seminary. And had a couple that joined the church while I was there. And the couple, both of them, on face value there, they knew Scripture forwards and backwards. I mean, they seemed like real, real committed grown-up Christians. You know, they knew it. But as I learned in dealing with them, they had some problems. And one of them was they were both alcoholics. And the fellow's name was Lem Gunn was his name. Lem was a retired master chief out of the Navy, and he worked for one of these government things, like a think tank thing, and where they did studies and made recommendations to the government and so forth, and he attempted many times suicide. One time he went, got a hotel room, went in, got in the bathtub, cut his wrist. Maid found him, you know, and of course he was saved. One time he told me this, he took his Cadillac and back then, Cadillacs were in the big cars. Drove it into a bridge embankment, whatever you call it there. And tried to, he survived it. He just wrecked his car, but he survived that. And he told me one day, he said, why doesn't God let me take my own life? I said, Lem, God is not going to let you take your own life. God's going to take it when he's ready to take it. I don't know, it's probably maybe 6 months later. He was with some of those people that he worked with. They were in the library at Old Dominion University doing some research. And he was sitting there at a table. And he had a brain aneurysm. And he just fell over right there at the table in the library. Of course, they called an ambulance. They took him to Norfolk General Hospital. And I met his wife there. And she was just up in tears and so forth. And they had him on life support equipment. And I was there when the doctor came and told her, because she had to make a decision. And the doctor told her that he, as long as they had him on that equipment that kept his heart going, kept him breathing, that they could keep him indefinitely on that life support equipment. But he said, he's not there. And he said, if we take him off of that equipment, he'll be gone in minutes. And she sat there and cried and just poured bawled like a baby with me. What do I do? What do I do? And I told her, I says, I cannot make that decision for you. You've got to make it yourself. What do you feel is best for Lim? And so finally she told the doctor to go ahead and disconnect. And the doctor said as soon as things were done, they would call us. So it was about 30 minutes later after they had disconnected him. And then, of course, then he passed. And then we went to the room to see the body. But God took him when God was ready. And this is what Elijah had to understand. We're not to dictate to God to ask his power to take any life. Not so ever. Now, we see Elijah trying to rationalize what he did. He tries to rationalize his request for the God taking his life. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. You know, they're gone. Who told him that he was even in a better place than his fathers? He probably thought Ahab and Jezebel would repent when they saw what God did on Mount Carmel, but no. How many people today still won't recognize God, even though, and we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection here in a few weeks. How many people still don't follow God, don't accept Jesus Christ? And they discount it. They try to call it off. But it happened. Just like Mount Carmel, God performed there. Elijah probably had dreams of leading the whole nation into a great revival. It didn't happen. He thought he was the man of the hour and the world would fall at his feet. What was his problem? The same problem a lot of us have at times, pride. He was, at this point, I can imagine, you know, having a Mount Carmel experience at Mount Tabor and thinking you're invincible. But none of us are invincible, and he found that out. How did he get into this shape? He was physically exhausted. Now, God refreshes him and allows him to sleep and to rest because he needs time of relaxation and vacation. You know, sometimes we get into it and we work too hard. I had to find that out of my own life. I learned it before I got into the ministry. There's a lot of ministers, they suffer burnout. They keep going and they get to a point that they don't stop and take some rest and vacation and different things. I learned years ago when I was in business, the company I worked for, and I was having some headaches and I was getting some numbness in my mouth and in my arm and hand and stuff and all, and I thought, well, I've got some problems. So I went to the doctor for a checkup. And he put me through all the paces, then told me to go sit in his office, and I sat down in front of his desk. And he come in and he said, now, first let's go over everything that's not wrong with you. Is it your heart strong as a mule? And he said, everything, he said. Then he looked at me and points, when's the last time you took a vacation? And I stopped. He said, that's what I thought. He said, you get your mess in order and you take a couple of weeks off. And I learned from that, and I always have. When I feel that coming on, I know it's time to take a break. And that's what we need to do. But Elijah needed to take that break. He was emotionally spent, drained from his ministry. He was giving constantly. The Greek saying is, you will break the bow if you keep it always bent. Elijah was not alone in his feelings. You know, look at Moses. You know, Moses broke under the physical and emotional demands of his leading Israel. And God did something. He gave him 70 assistants, you know, called them judges. He got assistants to handle the minor things, just the more important things. The serious stuff would Moses take care of. All that other minor stuff was turned over to those judges. Jonah, all this, I call him the reluctant missionary. He was depressed because of faulty thinking on his part. You remember, he went to Nineveh. You know, after having tried to run, you know, got swallowed by the big fish and so forth. He thought he could run from God. He found out he couldn't. And he did preach to the people in Nineveh. And any revivalist, any preacher that preaching in a revival would have rejoiced at the results of Nineveh. But no, not Jonah, because he wanted God to call fire and brimstone down. He wanted them destroyed. He was upset because they did repent. Faulty thinking. Now, God ministers to this prophet. First is a ministry of consideration. He's having what you might call a pity party. He thinks the Lord would just write him off. The Lord's not going to write him off. He knows that Elijah needed some things straightened out in his life. It involved rest. You know, there were times that Jesus needed to rest. There were times he went off by himself and rested, you know, prayed and so forth. It involved refreshment. An angel appeared and supplied food. His needs were looked after. God was taking care of him. It was a ministry of compassion. It involved gentleness. God gently speaks to him. You know, God is long-suffering and patient with his children. I know I understand that. Now, he's been patient and understanding with me. I'm probably all of you can probably think the same thing. It involved grace. He had God's presence. He had not left Elijah alone. You know, there are times we think God has deserted us, but he's not gone anywhere. We're the ones that are drawing back. God made provisions. He met his needs. He always meets our needs. And God was patient. He allowed him to go his own way for a while, to come to the end of himself so that he could learn to look and trust the Lord again. I've been down those paths sometimes in my life. And you probably have thought of some yourself. But the Lord will let us go just so far before he gets us back. It was a ministry of confrontation. God went about getting his attention. Here's a challenge. He'd go to the cave and wait for God to speak to you. What's the first thing? What doest thou here, Elijah? Didn't I send you to preach to my people? Shouldn't you be in Israel? I didn't call you to go hide in a cave by yourself. I called you to stand before the kings and the false gods and the prophets. So what are you doing here? There's a command. He's to stand before God. And here's the confrontation. Now, a still, small voice. God works in the hearts of individuals, not in sensationalism. God didn't speak in the earthquake, earth-shattering spirits, He didn't speak in the fire, the lightning, or whatever it was. He didn't speak in that. And he didn't speak in the hurricane or the strong wind. He didn't speak in that. But in that still, small voice from within. Listen, there are times when God speaks to us in that still, small voice. Now, sometimes it, and I know I can experience that in my calling and in other times in my life, that you feel this urge, you feel this tug. But you have to sit and talk to God and understand what it is He's leading you to do or so forth. Now, here's the mending of the prophet. It involved a new commission. He gets a new commission. Go to Israel through Syria, anoint two kings and a prophet. The Lord is not finished with him. The Lord is never finished with us. No matter how old you think you are, how far you've gone, he's never finished with you until the day you leave here. It involved a comfort. He says, you're not alone, Elijah. You know, Elijah's thinking he's alone. There's 7,000 others who have not worshiped Baal. You still have some people. And it involved a new companion. He gave him Elisha, a companion to walk beside him through the valleys and through the difficulties and take over the mantle when he's gone. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I hope none of you feel defeated or discouraged this morning. I hope not. This fellow named William Cowper, I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you. At 32 years old, deep depression, he attempted to take his own life. He tried laudanum, it failed. He rented a cab to take him down to the river so he could jump off the bridge. So foggy, the cab couldn't find it. He got out and walked. After an hour, he ended up back at his own front door. Tried falling on a knife, the blade broke off. Hung himself, but was found unconscious and cut down. He read his Bible, he went to the book of Romans. He wrote these songs, God moves in mysterious ways and there is a fountain. That's William Cowper. He's a number of the songs in this book he wrote. Turn to God, he will minister to you. Just like Elijah, he'll put you on the road to recovery if you're having some problems. He can deliver you from the brink of despair. Dump the dumps at the foot of the cross. The Lord knows what to do with them. And when you do, it's just like you bring things to the altar and give it to the Lord. Don't take it back. Don't take it back. What happened at the cross? Jesus died for us. He died for our sins. And then arose from the grave for eternal life. We're going to celebrate that resurrection in a couple of weeks. But you know, we need to celebrate that resurrection every day. Because he, as the song goes, he lives. And because he lives, we can live. Do you know him today as your personal Savior? If not, today you can receive him. And when we stand to sing our hymn of invitation, you can come and receive him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the lesson of Elijah. We see that he did great things for you, but then he fell into depression. He fell into those, what we might call the dumps or the blues. And he ran because he was threatened, but not to realize that if he could stand because you would have protected him. But through all of it, you did see him through and gave him new work to do and a new beginning. And to realize that we have a new life and a new beginning in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is with us and sees us through all the things of life. And we pray not a person would leave here today without knowing him as their personal Savior. For this we pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. 482, Jesus is calling. I'm going to do the benediction and the blessing for the luncheon.
We have lunch today.
Well, you don't have to stay, but I am.
Remember, it's for their benefit of the WMA.
Right, so yeah. So if all donations would be greatly appreciated to help them continue to further the great works that they do. And so I'm going to bless that, and then I will be here today. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, and we thank you now that we're able to go into fellowship and to enjoy a meal together. And we pray that your blessings will be upon it. You thank you for the hands that prepared it, and we pray that great things will come out of this that to assist the WMA to continue your work in this community. For this we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.